You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
I like our music, you guys. It's very, like, unassuming. You never know we're going to fight. Hi, guys. Welcome to The Ununited State of the World. I'm Monique Larae Stinson. I'm back with my beautiful, fabulous, smart, intelligent, globally amazing co-host, Francis Vigors, and Jay Heckendorn-Gelinder. Gentlemen, welcome back. How's it going?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, all good, thank you.
Good. How's it going, Jay?
Very good.
Okay.
Peace out.
Great.
I'm good. I'm protected.
Bulletproof.
I'm still safe.
Bulletproof okay. agent. Yeah.
Jay wants everybody agent. To know he's got his...
He's not Kevlar. A bulletproof monk. He's a bulletproof agent.
He's got his Kevlar on today. All right. Yeah. I've only worn those once. And it was for a shoot and it was in Hayward and it was really hilarious. All right. So guys, today we're going to talk about the G.
You know the funny part about that, right? It's for a shoot. No pun intended.
Pun intended. Thank you for reminding me. So today's topic, everybody, is about the GDP, Gross Domestic Product. I have two experts on the topic. Why don't we let Francis start out talking about what the GDP is in the UK and how America and the UK affect the world. Let's go full screen on Francis.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to get really specific about particular numbers, but what's been happening here, as I'm sure it has been happening in the United States as well, is that government just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And what government spends keeps becoming a larger part of GDP, and they can manipulate the GDP by growing government and by spending more money. And in order to keep doing that, all they keep doing really is putting taxes up and borrowing money from your children's future, if you like, putting it on the national debt so that they can spend today and worry about paying it back over, I don't know how many years, you know, if they ever pay it back. But these debts just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Deficits keep getting larger and larger and larger. And it's become, a massive problem. Many nations, I don't think, will ever pay their debts off. So what's to become of it? There's going to be huge problems in the future. It's inevitable, but it might not be imminent. So, you know, it may happen over the next few years or the next 10 years. I don't know. But yeah, GDP, gross domestic product.
Yeah, it sounds like one of the old 90s groups, BDP, Boogie Down Productions, BDP, but it's GDP. So let's go to the resident banker. Francis, you have a diverse background as well, but let's go to the resident banker, someone that works with the government, someone that really knows about the gross domestic product of the U.S. and other markets, Mr. Heckendorn-Gelinder. Let's go full screen. Tell us more about our current state of our GDP.
So right now, our GDP is running about 1.37 over the past few months. But for the audience, I want to explain the GDP is a limited part of what we export, right? And so it's what we manufacture to sustain our country, as well as what we put out to the others. And I think a simple way to explain it is it's kind of like when we export, it's like building your credit. So you can say, hey, I make $100,000 a year and I need this much in credit to keep my business going or whatever. And that's basically what the government does is say, hey, we've got this many exports. We're manufacturing this much. And that is the gross domestic product. What do we manufacture in the country? How much of that do we sell off? And every country, their value is based on only two things. It is based on your GDP and your taxation, right? Your population. So you have a certain populace that you collect tax from, and you have certain domestic products that you manufacture, create, develop, and distribute. That is GDP. And going to Francis's point, that GDP is used to establish your credit limits with other countries.
Great.
Right
great,
now, great, great. Mm-hmm. We're at over $35 trillion. Now, you guys, I don't know if you've ever written out that number, but even I, who've done this so long, I still have to go hundreds, thousands, millions, billions.
Of course.
Yeah.
Billions. I want that problem at the bank one day. I would love to have that problem. But you're the mathematician. But you know what? I like that you've identified that for us. And I'm going to just speak locally because we're number five in the world. There's only a few countries ahead of California. We move like another country. Our GDP here in California is $286.4 billion between 2022 and 2023. And the GDP in 2024.
That's the total between the years.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And then the GDP as of 2024 is $4.0 trillion in America. Let me give you guys an example of some gross domestic products, in case you don't know. In California, insurance, finance, and estates, professional business services, government, manufacturing. Can't read that. Maybe I do need glasses. That's blurry. Education and healthcare. Wholesale. We have entertainment, of course, and construction and other. Okay, so those are some of the things here in Cali. Gentlemen, if you had to be able to guess, what five countries have a bigger GDP than California? Or four, excuse me.
So China?
That's one.
Definitely not the UK.
You're on the list. You're on the list.
Oh, really?
China, UK. Wait, answer the question. Okay, so give me.
I would say.
Jay, you should get this.
Maybe India. India.
That's a good guess. It's a further down on the map. But Jay, you should, your ancestors would be so disappointed if you don't know that one of yours is on here.
Wait, your question again. What was it?
What are the other four countries that have a larger GDP than California? And California's a state, but go ahead. So Francis,
why are
guess.
We comparing a country to a state?
We're just talking about the top GDPs in the world. And I was just asking you the fans. So
maybe
China,
Germany's up there. Maybe Germany.
Germany, Jay, you should have guessed Germany. You're German. What? Octung.
I already know that.
Well, then
we're
just
Germany. You've got China.
The reason why we're talking about is because we're sharing with the viewers: Germany, China, Japan, and the UK, and the US, of course, is on top of that. So, what do we want to talk about? As far
well,
as,
interesting fact about GDP, and that's in 1997, the UK GDP was larger than China and India combined. And then we had 9 years of Labour, and we just seen a serial decline, you know. So yeah, it's just quite shocking. It's quite shocking, really. And nobody's really aware of that. But when you're talking about $1 trillion, do you know how long it would take you to count to a trillion if you just counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Tell us. I don't want to cheat and ask AI, so tell me.
Have a wild guess. Just have a wild guess.
I think it would probably take me about a week.
Yeah, 31,000 years.
Wow.
31,000 years to count to a trillion. That's how large a trillion is. And the politicians talk about it, and it just goes in one ear and straight out the other. Of everyone that's listening, 31,000 years to count to a trillion. Is that a big number? It's insanely huge. It's beyond most people's comprehension.
No, it's a beautiful number. No, that's a good way to put it, Francis, because you're right. And Jay was saying how he had to count a certain way. Jay, what do you when do you recall when the GDP was healthy, and in what lane of commerce in the U.S. would you say helped to drive that? Or a couple factors, sectors in the economy that drove that.
Okay, so this will be kind of a two-part answer. I want to go back to California because you're bringing up California. So California right now has $1.6 trillion in GDP. However, most of that is in debt. So
sorry, it's higher than that. It's actually 4.0 as of right now. But go ahead.
Well, I actually have a report, but it's 1.6 trillion and it's 125,000 per household. And that's in debt. Okay, then you've got 3.23 in 23. But right now, the debt for California is 16%. Okay, that's kind of a big deal. Okay, so basically, the only way to your GDP is including the money that you're paying off for debt, which is kind of a weird way to calculate it. It's kind of like saying, hey, I've got this shit ton of credit card debt, so I pay $5,000 a month on my credit cards, and then I contribute another $5,000, so I've got $10,000 of GDP. But $5,000, I'm simply paying back debt. Does that make sense?
Well, you have to capture what you brought in and then what you're putting out. So you have to capture
that. So you got to look. GDP is not, that is not your net income. That would be your top line revenue. Yes. Then you've got your debt, which would be your adjusted gross income. And then you've got your net profits that come after that. So California is in big hurt right now. And so is the United States. We're there. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it's not that we can't get out of it. However, we're in a big hole. It's going to take a long time to get out of this one. And as if you look at the job growth and the sectors that you brought up, Monique, most of them are government driven. They are not self-enterprise. They are not small business or mid-sized business or enterprise. They are government driven, which only drives for bigger government. Now, there is a joke that we talked about. I don't know if you guys, it's been a while since we've used the saying oxymoron. Oxymoron is like when you say jumbo shrimp. How do you say jumbo shrimp? What is a jumbo shrimp?
No, it's like saying jumbo prawn.
You'll know it when you see it.
And then you got military intelligence. That's another one. Military intelligence. And then you've got another one. That is called government budget. And here's the funny part. And I just had a meeting the other day with a veteran group. Unless you spend all of your budget's going to get cut. Now, here, we live every day. And maybe we have good months or good years, or maybe we have bad months or bad years. And we have to live within our means, right? So the American people have had to tighten their belts because gas prices rose, groceries rose, I mean, rents rose, house prices, interest rates. Name something in the United States that hasn't substantially increased besides mental health care. Go ahead, Monique. How's your therapist doing?
F you, Jay Bird. All right. So I would like to fact check, even though Jay, I lean on Jay for, he's the expert here. So, you know, you got to know thyself. If you talk to me about entertainment and media and marketing, I'm an expert. I'm not going to battle him, but I am going to just fact check you here because I'm very proud of my state.
You go ahead.
So according to the Office of Advocacy.gov small business, yes, 4.2 million small businesses are in California currently, and it makes up for 99.8% of the California businesses here, and it employs more than 7 million. So that's half of the state's private sector workforce. So just want to be clear.
I wasn't even talking about that.
You said it was mostly government jobs, and I just want to correct you. We're very big on tech.
Oh, no.
Startups, small businesses, and entertainment, and it drives our economy.
Hold on, Monique. First off, we're talking national at that point. But second, I'm going to fact check you now. Okay. So
cite your source.
You here? I'll pull it up. And while I do that, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. What you need to do, look at those small businesses.
I am a small business. I do look at them.
No. In the report, Monique, I'm not talking about you. The world doesn't revolve around you. I'm talking about the report.
On this show, it actually revolves about on three of us. Francis, why he pulls up his charts, even though I have it right here, according to the Office of Advocacy, you got to stay ready, boo. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Okay. Advocacy.sba.gov. Okay. And that's from the country's report on Cali. So it wasn't just me. But go ahead, Francis. What are your thoughts? How can we make it better? What goods and services can we sharpen and make the government, I mean, our GDP stronger for both countries, for all countries?
Well, your current government is making your GDP stronger by growing government, borrowing money and spending it on programs and adding that to your gross domestic product. But you're borrowing money to spend today on government programs that quite often, for every $2-3 spent, only would raise a dollar. You know, it's a very inefficient way of doing it because governments are just not efficient. They tax the people and they spend it all sorts of crazy ways. I mean, it's just crazy. You know, when you in the United States and here in the UK. I mean, I don't think you'll find many people that agree. I don't think you'll find a majority of the population, percentage-wise, that agree with what the government are spending the money on. It's just everything's a nutty program. The people don't want it, and yet they're doing it with your money. And not even with the money that they tax you on. That's not enough. They're borrowing money and putting it on the national debt to then spend on these nutty programs, including wars and, you know, all sorts of things. You know.
There's definitely some things that need to be tightened up. You know, I think that, again, a cause and effect for everything coming out of a pandemic, there's going to be times of printing out money. And now we got to get the train back on the track. So I think that's a global issue. I don't know if that's just a UK and America.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably going to see mass printing again. I think you might even see helicopter money again. I think you're going to see it again. They've done it once. They've got away with it. I think they just think, right, you know, just press the repeat button, press the replay button when it all kicks off and just carry on putting it on the debt. I mean, it's so huge that I don't think you or the UK are ever going to pay these debts off. So, you know, there's no going back for the politicians. They can only go forward. So they're just going to keep doing it. This is the problem. They're going to, you know, it's like a race engine. They're going to rev it because they want to win the race. They're going to rev it until it just blows up.
I hope that's not the case, Francis. I mean, I know that you live in reality and so do I, but I want to remain a little bit optimistic. I mean, I don't have kids, you guys do. I have nieces and nephews, and I want their future to be good. But I guess I'm optimistic because we have smart tech, right? We have clean, smart tech that we're building and making better every day. So I have faith that certain systems will get better and we'll be able to call things out because we have proof and evidence. And tech, I think, is the way to help us clean up a lot of things.
I think certain systems are going to get better, which is why the BRICS are arranging their trading arrangements between themselves, and they're coming out with their currency next month. So yeah, you know, they've seen the writing on the wall. They've seen how the other half of the world have been living, and how they've been running their finances, and they're not going to play anymore. So yeah, it will get sorted out, but you guys are not sorting it out. They're sorting it out for you. So
you don't think so? You don't think we can do it?
No, I don't think so. I don't think whoever wins the election, I think the financial hole that you're in is so huge that there's got
whoever
to be
wins
some,
the election,
some kind of reset. Well, if those guys come back in, completely screwed.
Again, I'm going to take you back to the Clinton days where he inherited a big deficit. And we ended in a surplus. So I'm looking at the history of it.
We had that conversation, and that was enabled by hollowing out the United States industrial capacity. And you've done it once. You can't do it again, you see. So you can't do that. Can't play that game anymore because those cards have been played. So I don't know. I don't think it matters who wins. I think it may be a hollow victory fiscally for whoever wins. They've got to deal with the deficit. And, you know, it's kind of not on my watch. You know, no politician wants the economy to blow up. They're in the chair, do they?
Yeah, like one, they want to take credit. I get it.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I mean, all they ever do is promise you more than the last lot or more than the other lot are currently promising you. And that just goes on the deficit because they don't ever collect enough tax. And by saying, well, we're going to spend more, but we're going to tax you to death, they're not going to get in. So, you know, this is a repeating cycle that just leads to annihilation. It just blows up eventually.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been played out throughout history in various civilizations. And, you know, there have been hundreds of different currencies and they've all failed throughout history. So
what is Mr. Heckendorn doing, Francis? I don't think he realizes that we're taping and
like, I think he's taking his bulletproof jacket off because he's getting hot.
He needs to be in the frame and be here.
It was so hot. It's 100 degrees.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's not the viewer and listener's fault that you live in the swamp, sir.
I'm a proud American and I don't call America a swamp.
I just shoot
a gator every once in a while with my AK-47.
It's and hot and you got alligators and mosquitoes and hurricanes. It's a swamp. I mean, by definition, it's a swamp. But anyway, Jay.
Hey, I got my jacket off. I'm nice and cool now.
Okay, well, the show had to wait for you and your props. Okay. Just kidding. Jay, this is your area of expertise, sir, so take about 5 minutes here. And the question was that was posed to Francis was what commodities, what things when the GDP was strong in the past, what were we looking at that made them strong, and what do you foresee that could build both of our government's GDPs?
Okay, so for the longest time, America was reliant on energy. And we got past that. And we were at a point that we actually had more energy resources and reserves than any other country. We did not need to buy oil or import gas or anything like that. And we let that go. And we still have the resources. We just can't access them. We put so much regulation in the energy sector, and it's funny, but not seriously funny. And that now we have electrical grid issues, okay? And we see that. Anybody that doubts it, screw you. Look at where we get hit with hurricanes, tornadoes. Why don't you look at Arizona? And you see where the power grid gets sucked out, and you have brownouts. Even California, you got brownouts, blackouts. It happens, right?
Yeah.
And in California, let's say, you know, you've got quake season beginning of the year, then you got the wind season, then you got fire season, then you got the flooding season, and that shit happens, and you lose electricity. Well, you're fucked. Okay, go ahead, be in your Tesla, drive 300 miles, and God forbid, there isn't a charging station right there. Or
I don't have a Tesla.
Not only that, but you have farmers. San Joaquin Valley, which is south of Sacramento, produced 33% of the produce for the entire world for decades. Those farmers, because I actually spoke with them about 3 weeks ago, and Monique, I've got meetings with them over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, and okay.
They are griping because the water supply is being diverted. It's being reservoired, but it's due to politics. It's Scottsdale, Arizona. They're griping because do you know where that water goes? It goes Sacramento Delta, and then part of it goes to the Colorado River. That Colorado River goes through Nevada, and then it hits Arizona and New Mexico, right? And so Nevada and Arizona are griping that they're not getting their water that they need. Well, how do you make electricity? Well, that's either through wind or hydro, which is water, right? So, or solar. So I'm going to give you three ways, right? It's solar, hydro, and so as those produce... Well, you need that water for the hydro part. For the solar part, that's very high maintenance and it's unreliable. And they're not getting the water. So there goes our agriculture, right? And why do you think John Deere is talking about moving part of their manufacturing to Mexico?
But let me hold for a second now, because you brought up something that's kind of, life is truly stranger than fiction. There was a show, one of my favorite shows, Goliath, with Billy Bob Thornton. I love Billy Bob. And there was an episode, well, there was a couple things, but it's what you talked about with the farmers in Central Coast of Cali. There was an episode called the Subsidence Adventure. And it came out in 2019. It says the unexpected death of an old friend takes Billy McBride, that's Billy Bob, to California's Central Valley, where a record drought has made water more valuable than human life. And it's interesting that you say that, because this came out in 2019, this show, and life imitates art. What are some solutions, gentlemen, to the GDP?
So, regulations, number one, not to be sloppy, right? They need to not be politically motivated, but based on some science, okay? And then you have to combine that with capitalism. So I always, when it comes to my world of law and finance, I would say there's legality and reality. Just because something is according to the law doesn't mean that's going to be the reality, right? And vice versa. So the regulations are a stranglehold. And it creates, because of that stranglehold, it creates a big monopoly, because it's a pay-to-play deal. When you're in California and you've got DWP or PGE, make no mistake, when you win those government contracts, somebody gets paid. That's how it goes. It's a fact. And Monique, you know, I've got government contracts on the real estate side. Believe me, those contracts, they're very lucrative. And there's always somebody or a bunch of people with their that you got to grease to get there. Okay, that is the game. And much like Hollywood, you don't get to produce a movie unless you paid off quite a few people to get them on board. Okay, that's called capitalism. I don't have a problem with that, except for when it hurts the consumers and the economy.
We can all agree here that we have a, this is why we talk about, we care about people, we care about your children, my nieces and nephews are the future. We want people to be okay.
So the way to do it, loosen up some regulation. Second, enhance the energy, give some incentives for the energy. Three, do not burden the smaller mid-sized businesses by eliminating gas stoves. And right. So when it comes to energy, it's important to be diverse. Whether it's water, electric, gas, or any of the other natural fuels, no, don't limit that. You got to revamp all the equipment. And think about cars. California wants to get rid of gas-driven, oil-driven cars. I think it's 2035 or something like that.
Hybrid. And shift to hybrid. Yeah, have hybrid as an option. Yeah.
Well, no, they want a full electrical. But at the end of the day, you know what that's going to do for the cost of, if you've got a 2020 or 2024 gas-driven car, and in 5 years, that needs a part, right? A part goes out, or 10 years, it needs parts. Well, guess what's going to be very hard and very expensive to get? It's going to be parts. Because they're going to be focused on these EV vehicles and not so focused on the other. And if you look at any of the auto manufacturers, who's cut back? Where they cut back? They cut back on the EVs. They're too expensive. They're not as reliable. And yeah, there's already so much out there. So why doesn't the government just let the market play itself out? Okay. Instead of trying to dictate where it must go, let the market do it. Because why did America become America? Because America didn't want to be dictated to. Okay. America is capitalism. It's a free market. Let the market play itself. It will do so. And if it turns out that EV works out better, guess what? Guess what all the manufacturers are going to do? They're going to make the EV cars.
Yeah.
If it turns out differently, they'll make their other cars. But you don't dictate private business. Let the market dictate it. So that's,
I agree 100,000% because it's caught, it's supply and demand, and we will wrap ourselves and position ourselves as business people to do that, to meet that demand. Francis, do you drive an EV? What are you driving in the UK?
No, I've got a diesel BMW.
Diesel. Okay.
Yeah, six cylinder, brilliant car, fantastic.
Zone.
We had a big drive here years ago where the government pushed diesel. They said it was green. And basically, they've tried to demonize diesel cars over the last few years.
And you believed them? Have you ever been in a semi truck before? You call that clean?
I don't believe anything the government says.
Oh, okay.
The government says go over there. I run the other way.
You know,
that's the Francis I know. That's the Francis.
And it's been proven true time and time again. So.
You know, as a kid, I actually liked the smell of the school bus.
I like the smell too. That's the problem.
I didn't have to walk to school. I would smell a school bus and I'm like, oh, that smells good. Let me get
off. Like nail polish. Yeah, it's bad for the ozone, bad for your lungs, but it smells so good. Yeah.
Well, the older diesel cars, you could run on old chip fat. Oil, so you go to the chip, fish and chip restaurants and take the old oil that was being drained out of the fryers. Yeah, you could filter it and then you could run it in your car.
Oh, how cool! Now that's a market.
It was quite a big thing. It was quite
there's
a big thing.
There's a market.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we
it was
could
quite
start
a big
some...
thing. What about go down to cars? Costco. Yeah, you go to Costco and just buy vegetable oil. That was a lot cheaper at the time, and just pour it straight into your diesel car. Only worked in the summer months when the temperatures were up, but here in the winter when it was cold, the cars didn't like to run on it because diesel has an additive in it that keeps it fluid, you know, at any temperature. But going back to Jay and GDP, you know, the economy is energy. Energy is the economy. You know, a barrel of oil is a storage unit of X number of stored man hours, if you like. You know, you can produce
men
fuel.
And women hours.
Well, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. So you can.
There's our Democrat.
And everything else. And everything.
Why is that a Democrat?
Between, right?
So, I've been working since I'm fucking 14. You better recognize.
Well, that's right. The women have to work when the men are at home having a baby, yeah?
See, this is why we have you on
the
show.
Someone's got to earn the bacon, right?
Brit. So we've got our cheeky Brit.
The man's in labor,
I love that.
Having a baby.
Well, you better something. If I'm being home,
that cheeky. Was good.
Okay, cheeky Brit. All right, gentlemen. We can agree that hopefully there are pathways forward. All I know is there's some beautiful minds in this country, and us business people, small business, mid and large, we are the ones called to do this. I have full faith in technology and the people that we will find a beautiful way forward to keep our both of our countries and inspire others and create a lane to get this back on track. Let's shift because we have only a few more minutes left, and I know you boys are going to have an opinion about this because I know you can't wait to talk about this topic. In entertainment news, guys, let's talk about the business of marriage, shall we, for just one moment. The business of marriage and divorce. And the headline is J-Lo and Ben Affleck are getting, they're split. Didn't they just get remarried? What happened to J-Lo, you guys? What's going on with Ben Affleck? Jay, what say you?
That is old news. So,
well, we weren't taping it. Yeah, they broke up about a month or two ago, but so what?
Yeah, back in May and or April, actually, was their separation date. And
wow, Jay knows the date.
that's their second marriage together, right? Now, J-Lo's what'd she say? She's from the block? Yeah, she's been around the block.
Yeah, no! Jenny's from the block.
She's been around the block. She's like a village bicycle. Everybody had a ride. And then you got... what?
It's the Jay's truth. Going in.
No,
Jenny,
I'm not.
Show that she's from the Bronx.
I'm afraid to go in because it'd probably glow if I pulled it out. No.
Okay, let's not do that. That is below. That's beneath you, Jay. Jay has...
No, I know it's below the belt. That's the point, Monique. It is below the belt.
So you feel like she's been ridden hard and hung up wet. Okay. Francis,
who has struggled with addiction issues. Now,
so
what
he
was...
He gets a pass then? Because, like, he has...
No.
Oh.
No, if you'd be quiet a second, I'll finish. Now, what was beautiful is that they came back together. Okay, and that was awesome. And so, Monique, no. I said my piece on that first part. But the great part is they did come back together, which I think is beautiful when you have a long relationship and maybe you go different paths for a moment and then your paths come back together. And you get to reunite with an even deeper feeling and understanding for each other and appreciation and respect for each other, because you did go your separate paths and you said, you know what, we've learned from this and now our roots are even deeper than they were before. That's a beautiful thing. That industry, and I know they're in entertainment, I get it, but they really are in different industries. He does not sing or dance or perform, and those schedules are brutal. I seriously brutal. And on the road every other day, you're on the road gone for months at a time. You have all kinds of fans that are just oogling for you, right? And there's always somebody smarter, somebody better looking, somebody funnier, somebody richer, you know, whatever. There's always somebody that has one quality or two qualities that are better. But, and it's intoxic or intoxicating as you're in front of all these fans that they don't know you. They know your persona. They know your brand. But they don't know you as a person. They kind of forget that you go to the bathroom just like they do. You take a shower just like they do. You know, you get in good moods and bad moods just like they do. And maybe you don't have to pump gas or go grocery shopping, but you're still a human being. Instead, they put you on this pedestal and worship you. And that can be acceptable, seeing as both of them are in the same, or not the same, but similar industries, right? They're in the similar circumstances.
They're in the exact same industry. They did tea leaves together.
Ben, before you correct me, Ben does not sing. So no, they're not exactly the
same. They're both actors. They met on the film Geely. Hello? It's the same industry. Francis!
Yeah.
What's
Do you know that J-Lo actually sings? Have you ever heard Ben Affleck sing? So before you correct me, I already said this.
If you're an actor and I'm an actor, we're in the same industry, right? And if I go sing, that's a different industry. But we're in the... Okay, well, they were in the same movie. So if they weren't in the same industry, I don't know how they got in the fucking same movie. Francis, what say you about the J-Lo bit for the second time? They just had this elaborate wedding. What's going on?
I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would say that. Who cares?
Right?
I mean,
talk about these things. I would so say people might be listening that might care.
Yeah, I would say that people in that position, well, in their position, they've got more than enough money between them that if they wanted to take a few years out, they could. But I think they're terrified, individually terrified of losing their significance, you know, being knocked off their slot or whatever it is. But, you know, a lot of people that reach that position as well, they're kind of like narcissists as well. So I don't know if two narcissists will ever really get on. And as Jay says, who cares, right? You know, just
well, guys, you're in the business now, so we're talking about hot topics, so some people care.
Yeah, as listeners out there, you know, anyone who's listening, they should just say to themselves, right, okay, I should concentrate my thoughts and my feelings on my relationship and my partner. This is interesting what I'm hearing here, but you know, they've got all this money, they've got all this fame and all this, and a lot of these people end up topping themselves or abusing other people, like Diddy, whatever, you know, and couples, you know, they can't stay together.
Francis couldn't care less, y'all, but I want to go back to Jay's
couldn't care less.
Wait.
No, let me go back to your point, Jay. We go around the thing now. Jay, I like what you're saying. Francis, I appreciate your position. You don't give a F. Jay, we're counting on the Brit to care. But Jay, I like what you said about coming back together and offering a positive spin on that and seeing growth in one another and love. But, you know, here's what just bothers me about it. I want people to find love however they find it. If it's not hurting nobody, no kids, no puppies, you do you. And it's, you know, you only got one, you only go around once, right? You might come back as a bat, you don't know, or not at all. But my point is, when does she take a break? Like, when it's okay to be by yourself, to reflect. I never see her take, she doesn't miss a beat. No diss, J-Lo, I love what you've created, girl. You've come from the block in the Bronx, I get it. But let yourself take a moment, learn, sit with you, be lonely, be alone. I love being alone. I love being here with my man, but I also like to be alone because I can grow. I just don't understand that message for young girls to just always have a man. You don't always have to have a man.
Young girls. So, Monique, that's actually a tender point to me. So there, you know, as you grow up, especially if you grow up dysfunctional, which I don't think J-Lo did, but if you do, there's abandonment and acceptance issues. You want everybody to accept, and especially in that industry, you're constantly, what are you doing? You're wanting acceptance. How many fans did I get at this concert? How many views did I get on this post or TikTok, whatever it is, right? You constantly need that. It's like a drug to you. Okay, you are right. Being alone sometimes gives you time for self-reflection. It gives you time to love yourself instead of loving something or needing to love yourself from an external. You need to love internally first, then you can love external. And they don't always get the time for that, right? And as to this part of it, I'm glad we spun it because I was going to say, and I will say now, Mark Twain had a saying. He said, people talk about other people when their own lives are not worth talking about. Okay, so that's why I don't really follow bunch of the entertainment stuff because one, that's their business. And growing up where I grew up, where I lived as an adult, we respect their privacy because they don't get much of it. They don't get that alone time. They don't get that reprieve. They're always, everybody goes up, oh, I just want to say hi. And man, your work is great. By the way, can you sign this for me? Like, no, man, I'm eating breakfast. Leave me alone. You know, whatever.
You make a really good point. If I could just pause you, don't lose your thought. I really love that you highlighted if you've come from a trying upbringing or have challenges in your life or your path wasn't as smooth, that you are craving that validation. I never thought of it from that way, but I did kind of think, but I wasn't empathetic to it. So I'm glad you brought it up because maybe that is the case. I just don't need anyone on me 24/7. I think that's not going to help. Francis, do you need someone breathing on you 24/7?
Definitely not. No, I mean, I think people really struggle with knowing who they are. That's the thing. Yeah. And you'll never find out who you are unless you spend, you know, a fairly decent bit of time on your own getting to know yourself and contemplating what you want, you know, and why do you want those things. And, you know, I mean, trouble is we're very, very sophisticated, you know, people with, you know, at our sort of age, you know, our middle age, your consciousness expands. And that's why you have these midlife crisis moments where you sort of look at everything again, reevaluate everything, question everything.
Oh, and that's quite often, thing.
Quite often change what you're doing. You know, you sort of go home and you just think, I don't want to be with this woman anymore.
Or
don't
point.
Want to be with this man anymore. I want Harley Davidson, or, you know, I want to go and
a red
ride,
sports
car. Yeah, ride Route 66 or something with my mates. I don't want to be, you know,
sorry to interrupt. We have to wrap.
Yeah, this is like Wild Hogs. You know, this is what happens. It's about 40 years. Your mind suddenly just, your consciousness expands. And it's a known scientific thing.
Great well, point, Francis. I have to put a button in, boys. We have to wrap. Guys, Jay, real quick, plug your business. Before you do, guys, check us out on Instagram at the Ununited State Pod. Excuse me, at the Ununited State of the World Pod. Jay, plug your business real quick.
It is wearenotthebanks.com. Wearenotthebanks.com. That is first-time buyer, investor, second home, foreign national, self-employed, no bank statements, whatever it is. There's 36 years experience. I worked for banks 35 years. I know the ins and outs. And I want to help you to stabilize your family so that you're not having to re-rent, move your kids to new schools every 6 months, every year, every 2 years, that you don't have to worry about your lease payments getting increased.
Thank you. Sorry to cut you off. We have to wrap. So much more to talk about, gentlemen. I feel like I'm always cutting you off, but I'm getting prompted by the radio station. What Will You Start Up Today is coming up next on my show, The Startup. I'm with the Ununited State of the World with Jay and Francis. Guys, we're getting closer to the big conversation. So make sure you check out all other 6 episodes. This is episode 7. And then we're going to talk about the big one. And we're leading it up. Hopefully we'll all be friends after. I'm sure we will. Get all your libertarian and conservative and Democrat friends and watch our big show coming up right before the election. But we'll see you guys soon. Bye, guys. Be safe.
Bye. You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.